Lockjaw, the podcast junkie here, and you are listening to one of the funniest shows I've ever heard, Into Your Head, hosted by Neil O'Carroll and Joanne Farrell, all the way from Ireland.
Those of you who heard Into Your Head number 62 will probably have garnered that this is the subsequent show to Into Your Head 62, but that's obvious. But what you'll also have That's an outtake. I'm going to leave it in because it's 20 seconds of material and it'll get us faster through the show. I want this to be a quick one today. I want to get out a brand new show and just get on with it. But so what we're saying was basically, we're saying that those of you who listen to show 62 will have heard me say that show 62 is partly old material, it's partly vintage Into Your Head, which I've stuffed in. I have 10 minutes of new material and then I introduce some vintage material and then I call that a show. And then I put something in the show notes saying I promise the next one will be all brand new material. So that means that this show has to be all brand new material, otherwise you can sue me or you can come around and threaten to kill me with a knife, which technically would be illegal, but that doesn't preclude you from doing it. The law, just because something is illegal doesn't mean you can be stopped from doing it. So I have to keep that in mind. I have to keep in mind that the listeners to this program have it in their heads at any particular given time that they could come round and kill me with a knife, or possibly a gun, or a hacksaw. Though a hacksaw is a terribly inefficient way of murdering someone, if you ask me. You have to hack away at them, you have to cut and saw, and in all that time that you're slowly killing them with the hacksaw, they could be dialing 999 on their telephone in their other hand, assuming you're cutting one of their hands off. I presume that's what you're doing, because that would be the most sensible thing to do if you have to use a hacksaw. There's no point choosing a leg instead of an arm, because a leg is going to be thicker than an arm and it's going to take even longer. And I know what you're saying there. You're saying the circumference of a finger is much smaller than that of an arm, so you'd be far quicker to chop a finger off, but that's not likely to kill the person. It's going to separate them from one of their fingers, but they've got nine more of those, unless you don't count their thumbs. But in that case, you've still got seven, and thumbs are replaceable anyway. You don't need thumbs are pretty much just toes that have grown in the wrong place. I've seen programs about people on Discovery Channel who've had a missing thumb replaced with their big toe, and they'd be absolutely fine apart from being missing a big toe. And if you go up to them and tell them you're missing a big toe, they'll say, "Ha ha, no, it's not. No, I'm not missing a big toe at all. This is my big toe here. It's up on my hand." And then you'll call the cops, and you'll explain to the cops what they've just said, and the cops will call the men in white coats, or nowadays it's the men and women in white coats, because it's all equality now. But they'll call the people in white coats, and they'll come along and take the man away. And then the man will say, I thought I had it easy. I thought I just had a thumb in the wrong place. Well, a toe in the wrong place, I suppose, in place of my thumb, which technically isn't the wrong place as well, because it's gone. It's probably in a medical disposal unit somewhere. But that's not the point at all. The point is that he now has this new thing. When the Discovery Channel gets bored of making documentaries about his thumb that's made out of an old toe, they can start making documentaries about how he was dragged away to a mental institution because of a story that he told to the cops that was true. Now, that'll probably be featured on one of those crime programs. It won't be on Discovery Home and Health. It'll be on one of the Discovery Crime or one of those channels. Or maybe he'll get bored of Discovery Networks and he'll decide to do a new deal with I don't know, the Crime and Investigation Network, or one of those, which I believe is a separate organisation from this Discovery Channel. Maybe that's not the case in every country. In some countries, those two networks may be run by the same company. I don't know. I don't know how franchises work. Well, I do know how they work. I just don't have an exhaustive knowledge of who holds the franchise for each major television network in the world in each country. So excuse me for not knowing everything. Join me. I'm just in the process of selecting the album cover picture for this episode of Into Your Head. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, Neil, you're getting ahead of yourself. You've barely recorded half a show yet, and already you're doing all that crap where you select some stupid picture that goes attached to the MP3 file. Well, I'm being efficient. I'm killing two birds with the same stone. Now I know I'm not actually killing two birds with the same stone. Obviously, that would be illegal. Well, that's not to say that it's illegal to adopt efficiency in your bird attacking. It's illegal to attack birds like that, but that doesn't mean it's illegal to use one stone to kill two birds instead of using two stones to kill two birds. Both are equally illegal, but it's not. I'm trying to say that there isn't some law that says it's more illegal to kill them efficiently rather than inefficiently. So it's perfectly legal, therefore, to use one stone rather than two to kill two birds. So you're not breaking any law by adopting efficiency in your law breakingness. You're still breaking the law in what you're doing, of course. So that argument gets you nowhere. I wouldn't use that in front of a court if I were you. I wouldn't go up to the judge and say, I wouldn't go up to the judge at all, because you're not supposed to approach him. You're supposed to stand behind the podium. If you ever watch Judge Judy, you see everybody stands behind their respective podium, and if there is any reason why you need to approach Judge Judy or give her anything, you don't approach her. You hand the piece of paper or whatever evidence you have to the man who does the wavy hand thing. You know, the man with the glasses, the big man who comes on at the beginning and says, everyone has been sworn in. Everyone have a seat, and he waves his hand. He does a little hand gesture. He wags his fingers, and that's his gesture to everyone to sit down. And anyway, that's irrelevant. I'm here selecting a picture for the current episode of Into Your Head, and I've got all confused now. I was meant to be going into shared pictures and then into a folder called Pictures for Podcast and Cats. Now I have a picture ready. I have one. It's an excellent picture. You'll see it when you download the show. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Suffice to say that it's one of the few episodes where the album cover picture won't feature a cat, because I found something that's even better than a cat to put in this week's album cover picture. So you'll be very impressed. Don't worry about that. And I'm not saying that you are worrying, and I'm not saying that there's any reason why you should be worrying. If you don't fully trust me or know me, I shouldn't have mentioned it at all. I'm sorry to have brought it up. In fact, I'll leave this picture thing alone. I'll do that later when I'm not recording, because I don't want to cause you undue stress or worry, especially when I've been talking about conspiracy theories earlier in the show. I've probably got you all upset now. You're probably analysing every word I say. You've probably analysed that last sentence there, the sentence where I said you're probably analysing every word I say. You're probably thinking, why did he say that? Why did he say you're probably analysing every word I say? What did he mean by it? Was he talking in English, or was he talking in some secret code language that happens to sound like English and uses English words, but in fact is not English? Maybe he was actually sending out an instruction to the Terminator robots to start the war by inserting microchips into all cats. He's probably going to start taking over the world by bringing in a law saying that in future all new pets need to be microchipped with identity chips. And this is the beginning of his taking over of the world, because eventually that will lead to him turning all cats and dogs into remote control robots. That's I know Irish listeners will be particularly worried by that, because there was such law was brought in earlier this year, I believe, whereby dogs and cats have to be microchipped. Well, dogs anyway, when they're initially licensed as puppies, when they're licensed to be a dog. Not all dogs are accepted under the dog licensing program. Sometimes the dog turns up at the licensing office, and the owner says, on behalf of the dog, the owner says, "Can I have a license for this dog, please? I want a dog license." And the guy will look at the dog and say, "No, yeah, that dog doesn't qualify to be a dog. It can have a provisional dog license, but not a full dog license. It'll have to pass some tests before it can be declared a dog. I'm suspicious about the fact that it has whiskers and pointy ears, and it's meowing, and it seems to be drinking my milk and eating my tuna sandwich, but leaving the bread behind. And leaving the butter behind, because it's not real butter, it's a non-dairy spread made from vegetables." And I happen to know that cats don't like vegetables, because my cat, when I feed it whiskers as a treat, it leaves behind all the green bits and eats all the meaty bits. So cats don't like vegetables. So that's how the dog licensing system will lead to the takeover of the world.
It's been quite some time since I last performed for you a urination session of the week. So before that becomes a problem, I'm going to attend to it right now. There's going to be no more prevarication in this field, except in the sense of stumbling over that word prevarication and trying to pronounce it properly. But I don't think that's unreasonable for me to stumble over such a big word. It is a big word. It's prevarification. I see there I use the time-honoured way that people use of breaking down the word into syllables so you can pronounce it easily, and that worked fine. So teachers know stuff. The teachers taught me that, and It's served me well through the ages. It's just I forget to do it the first time around. I should have done it the first time around. It would have sounded a little silly, me going prevarification the first time around, because you wouldn't have known that I was having a problem with the word, and I would have had to then explain why I was saying it very slowly. So it's probably better to just stumble across it first, and that saves having to explain that I was having a problem with stumbling across it, because you can just hear me stumbling across it, and then you can hear me pronouncing it slowly. So I feel that works fine. Anyway, it's time for the urination session. We just have to wait for the material to appear. I'm probably not going to see it. I'm not looking down at it. I'm more staring into space than anything else. I should probably try picturing a waterfall in my mind, and that'll in some way induce me to produce a waterfall more quickly. So I'll do that. I'll just produce a waterfall in my mind. I think I'll produce the waterfall that's in that famous animation that they used to play on classic Sesame Street episodes, where it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and there's all sorts of waterfalls and conveyor belts and things. And it's a fascinating video. Go up on YouTube if you want to see it. I think it's called 1112. I don't know. That's just the name that some YouTuber gave to it when they illegally uploaded it to the internet. And they're probably in jail now. Because you go to jail if you illegally put bits of old Sesame Street episodes online. It's an extremely bad crime, putting educational television clips on the internet, especially nowadays, since educationists have apparently decided that the older episodes of Sesame Street do not align with modern thinking on how to educate young children. So that basically means that they're porn videos. It means the same thing. They're no longer suitable for children. So if a child watches a classic episode of Sesame Street from the 60s, I like the ones that I was raised on when they were rerunning the late 70s. If a child watches them, the child is basically watching porn, because it's not getting any education out of it, according to what educationalists know now. So basically, it's just watching it for entertainment. Oh, there's the urination session, by the way. I don't know if you can hear it, because I'm recording on my telephone, but rest assured, I've been urinating for the past several seconds. And talking about Sesame Street classic episodes from the 70s at the same time. Anyway, that's not multitasking, I don't know what it is. But anyway, I seem to be done here, so that means we're done here.
Moment. I'm watching videos on YouTube. Hang on a minute, listen to this. Let me turn off the...
Like me.
There you go.
Like me.
Now, I know you can't see that, but you can hear a video. You can hear... Well, you can't hear the images coming from the screen, but you can hear the audio that's accompanying the images. So, that should be enough evidence to you to convince you that I'm watching a video. Unless you're a complete cynic. Unless you're some kind of conspiracy theorist who thinks I've all these Irish people are setting up podcasts to try and trick you into thinking they're watching videos when they're not. In fact, I suppose that would be a perfectly sensible conspiracy. You might think that we all decided to make podcasts of ourselves, claiming to watch videos, and it's to trick all you foreigners into watching videos yourself and using up all your broadband watching these videos, so that we in Ireland can take over the world. Well, I suppose that's a reasonably sensible conspiracy. And if you're into that stuff, go to conspiracast.com, because there's an Irish guy there who makes a podcast all about conspiracies. It's absolutely fantastic. This is one of the conspiracies that he featured, actually. It was what to do with Irish podcasters broadcasting audio of themselves, listening to audio and trying to pretend that it was video. But he's a sensible chap. He wouldn't fall for that crap. And neither would I. I wouldn't fall for it. But anyway, apart from all that, I'm here watching videos, and I'm watching Bill Maher Part 3, April the 18th, 2008. And basically, it's a guy on America, an American television presenter, and he's interviewing a guest who happens to be another American television presenter. And it's absolutely fantastic. He spent the first 2 minutes of the interview asking the guy whether he ever sleeps, because apparently he's on a lot of programs. And the guy said, "No, I never sleep." And then everyone laughed, because there's a studio audience. So the studio audience laughed, and then the presenter laughed, and then the interviewee laughed, as if it was all hilarious. So in other words, this is supposedly a serious news and current affairs programme, but it's all jokes. Everything's a joke nowadays. You're not allowed to have a serious discussion on television or radio about anything. You're supposed to just, I don't know. Anyway, this is why I set up my own YouTube channel. If you go to youtube.com/intoyourhead.com or something, you can get to it from my website. Go to intoyourhead.com and scroll down the right panel, and you'll see a link to my videos. And you'll find I've got several important films uploaded now. I've got one called Not on the Toilet, and it features me sitting on the toilet claiming that I'm not on the toilet. And this is an important sociological lesson for you all. You watch this video that's called, entitled Not on the Toilet, and it features me claiming that I'm not on the toilet when I clearly am. You can see here a roll of toilet paper on the ground in front of me. Luckily the camera is facing away from me, so it's not disgusting. But this is a test of your ability to use the media and your ability to analyse where information is coming from and decide what you do and don't believe in the media. It's an important skill to learn, and as far as I'm concerned, you should all go watch my videos and learn all about that immediately. time to attend to some listener mail, some listener messages that has come into me through the various channels which I very kindly provide to you at intoyourhead.com/stalk. Now, well, firstly, Manny posted, enjoyed show 60, I'm glad you didn't urinate in your guitar. Well, I'm glad that you're glad I didn't urinate in my guitar, Manny. Like, I can't imagine how it would affect you. It's not your guitar. I wasn't planning on placing the guitar in your home after I urinated in it. So you shouldn't worry so much about the consequences of the stuff that I record myself doing. Unless the consequences are in the form of sound. Because sound is the only pollution that you're going to receive from my actions. You're not going to see what I'm doing. If I fart during a show, you're not going to smell it, you're only going to hear it. So unless, for example, unless if I fart, the only consequence is that you will hear a loud noise, possibly in your ears. But I'll adjust the volume accordingly during the editing process, so it's not going to do you any ear damage. So you don't have to worry about that. If I stand up during a show, that's not going to cause your iPod to rise up above your head and then crash down when I sit down suddenly again. So none of the actions that I take during this show, other than the ones that I do orally or vocally, are going to affect you in any way. So Manny, thank you I'm glad that you're glad that I didn't urinate into your guitar, but just don't lose any sleep over that sort of thing. It's not going to cause you any problems whatsoever. An old friend of the website who doesn't listen to the podcast, he only comes to the website because he likes the guest book, and I used to have cartoons about cats. But the Merry Little Elf posted, and he did a long story about some problems he's having that I won't go into, but he went on by by replying to my reply about some irrelevant stuff, and then he said, thanks Neil, that's semi-almost helpful as usual, that's about the best advice I expected from a bald guy. That's interesting, Elfie. You've been calling me bald now for several years. I've posted pictures of myself with hair. They're all being genuine. I don't have access to fake hair. If I did, I wouldn't use it. I'd get real hair, or I'd get a wig that's made from real hair that I'd grown while I had hair, and then this is going to be another outtake. I think I'm going to leave it in, I'm not sure. If I do leave it in, I'll leave in this bit as well, so you can hear me thinking and prevaricating about whether or not I'm going to leave this segment in. In fact, I think I will leave it in. That's what I'll do. I'll leave it in because there's no point just editing stuff out. That's fake. This is real. This is a reality show. It's like reality television. It's real people doing real things. And I'm doing real things. Now, admittedly, I'm not doing the same real things that I would do if I were not being recorded. If I were not being recorded, I wouldn't stumble and panic and get all confused when I make a slight error. I would just stop and carry on when I'm ready. And then apologise to whoever was present, because it's usually be someone who I'm close to, someone who knows me and someone who understands me, and someone who would be happy to tolerate my errors. You, on the other hand, you're a stranger. Well, I know some of you, but many of you listening here are strangers to me, and I have different levels of expectation as to what I require to come out of my mouth to present to you. And I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, I hope it's not vomit. Well, it's not vomit. Don't be ridiculous and vulgar. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to interrupt myself there, because I go on there for another 3 minutes saying how I might leave this outtake in, or I might take it out. I've decided in the end that I'm neither taking it out nor leaving it in. So the 3 minutes there that you haven't heard are irrelevant, because I've decided on a reasonable compromise. I'm going to leave it in, but I'm going to fade it down and talk over it like I'm doing now, and that'll resolve the whole issue. Because I never know what to do with outtakes. When I make a mistake in the program, it's my My first impulse as an entertainer is to leave it in and allow you to laugh at my misery and allow you to receive entertainment from my mistakes. Because that's the type of giving person I am. I'm all giving. I spend all day giving things. I go out. The first thing I do when I go out in the morning is give money to the bus driver. And then I give. I give carbon dioxide out to the world around me all day and all night as well. Except, well, sometimes I close the window, so really I'm only sharing the carbon dioxide with the cats at night. But nevertheless, there are plants in my house. Well, that's a lie. There are no plants in my house whatsoever. I just decided to say that because I wanted to create the impression that I have an argument about this that I've thought out. I wanted to create the impression that I'm purposely exhaling carbon dioxide at night in order to keep my plants alive. Because plants inhale carbon dioxide and they exhale oxygen. And we breathe in the oxygen and then we exhale carbon dioxide. It's an absolutely ridiculous situation if you ask me. We're all wasting time breathing in each other's waste and breathing out stuff for other people and beings and creatures and plants to breathe in. And it's just, somebody's probably decided it's some sort of clever food circle or oxygen circle cycle or something. That's probably what the scientists call it. They probably call it the air cycle. They probably say, oh, this air, it's so clever the way it's designed. It goes in through my nose and then it goes out through the other side of my nose and then it goes into a plant's nostril. And the plant processes it and churns out whatever it doesn't need. And it just so happens that the stuff that the plant doesn't need is what we need. And the stuff that we don't need is what the plant needs. And the stuff that the cat needs is just anything, because the cat thinks it needs anything. The cat treats oxygen the same way as it does food. It says, oh, there's some oxygen and or carbon dioxide. I'm going to breathe that in. And if he won't let me have it, I'm going to sit there in front of him, staring at him until such time as he's finished breathing. And then I'm going to breathe it. And he's going to feel guilty. He'll see me staring at him with my puppy dog eyes, my kitten dog eyes, I suppose you should call them, because I'm a cat. And eventually he'll give in and say, fine, here, I have the frigging carbon dioxide, I'm finished with it now. And then I'll breathe it in. And it'll probably, usually when I do this, I find it leaves me with a strange sense of emptiness. So then I go looking for some food. But then I'm a cat. I don't have sophisticated thoughts about these sort of things. What I've just said in the last minute is well surprisingly sophisticated for me as a cat. So I hope you're suitably impressed. And I'm not really saying this anyway. This is Neil, the host of Into Your Head, saying what he predicts that I would say if I could speak as a cat. And I don't even know which cat I'm supposed to be. He hasn't said which cat he's referring to. I presume he's talking about the kitten, because his current kitten, Chili, acts like this all the time. He does that puppy dog thing. Puppy dog, hound dog eyes, whatever the hell he called it. I don't know. I'm a cat. Leave me alone. So anyway, that's what a cat would say.
Three cats, or at least I did have. Now I've only two. La 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 la. My little Harry, my first ever cat. He's gone walkabouts and I don't know where he's at. My little Harry, my first ever cat. He's gone walkabouts and I don't know where he's at. It makes me very sad and I'm probably gonna cry. My poor little catty, I loved him very much. I still love him now, even though he's not here. Stupid kitty cats going running everywhere. I still have two cats, but I miss my little Harry. He was my firstest ever little cat. Now I'm sad, but I have to get over that. 'Cause I've two other kitty cats who need me to be strong. Especially little Chili, he still has to have his willy cut off. La 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 la. I miss Harry, my firstest ever cat. I'm very, very sad about it 'cause he's missing him that. La 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 la. My first is Harry Miss and Song.